Congratulations! You're listening to a Radio 1 91 FM podcast.
We've got an interview on the Only Bones Fringe show with Daniel Nodder. Daniel's here in the studio with us. How you doing?
Kia ora, doing good.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, stoked to have you coming in on a stormy morning. Are you staying down in Otipoti for a little bit?
Yeah, we're staying down for about a week. We're down from Ponikea, Wellington, and we've brought the weather with us.
Yeah.
So that's nice.
We got that vibe. But that's okay. Yeah. We're very used to it down here as well. And you say we as well, so you're performing a one-person show, but you've
yes.
got a team?
Yeah, we've got a team. Cool. There's three of us staying. We're like a little group, and we've brought down three different shows mm-hmm. from Wellington. So we're kind of lots of overlap of team members.
Cool. Yeah. What are the different shows, if you don't mind?
Yeah, so there's Only Bones, which is my solo physical theatre clown wobbly show. Mm-hmm. Then there's Manager Expectations, which is Eliza Sanders' dance, multidisciplinary, kind of mind-bending thing. And then Twilight the Loca Edition,
cool.
which is our friend Maeve telling all of her hot takes on the Twilight franchise.
Cool. I love that. I love a bit of Twilight commentary.
So good. So good. Very current.
I know, yeah. It seems to be the buzz at the moment.
Yeah.
Talking about Twilight. Mm-hmm. People have a lot of things to think about for it. I think
100%.
It's a good post-COVID kind of topic, you know?
Yeah, because everyone binged all of Twilight.
Yeah.
I know I did, but...
And you know how, like, pre-COVID there was, like, that zombie obsession? Like, we
yes.
had a good 10, 15 mm-hmm. years of, like, every movie being a zombie movie?
And now vampires.
Vampires make sense. Like, you know, they're always coming up and down. You know, Buffy was a cool amount of time ago now. You know?
100%. 100%.
Yeah.
Buffy's coming back.
Yeah, absolutely. I've been loving some Buffy vaguely recently.
Yeah.
You got any TV shows you champion, you watch religiously, mean a lot to you?
I mean, not a lot. I watch... Oh, what have I watched recently? Oh, gosh, you've caught me on the spot. And now I've forgotten every single TV show I've ever seen in my
As
life.
As is traditional.
Oh, I guess Yellow Jackets has been good. I've really
cool.
been
yeah.
my Yellow Jackets.
I really like that,
fun.
Especially the first season.
Mm.
I feel
yeah,
like
yeah,
that boosted
yeah.
up.
Yeah, 100%. It's yeah. If you're not too afraid of gore.
Yeah, it's actually scary.
It goes
hey,
crazy.
Like, crazy scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. And you are actually in here not to talk about TV shows.
Yeah,
and
no,
other people's
shows. Easy to get distracted.
You're in here to talk about Only Bones.
Yes.
Can you tell us what that is?
Yeah, so Only Bones is a solo show. It's just me on stage. Me and a light bulb hanging from the ceiling.
Cool.
It's part of a series of shows called the Only Bones series, the Only Bones Project.
Mm-hmm.
And basically that project invites solo artists to create a show with a set of restrictions.
Mm-hmm.
So each one's different, you know, each solo artist takes their own take on it, but you have to make a show with one performer, one light, no words, no overarching narrative, no set, no props, and all has to fit within a meter
cool.
squared.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's basically minimalist theatre, you know,
mm-hmm.
you strip it all back and take away all the stuff you usually use, and
yeah.
then you're left with having to be creative with
cool.
your body, and
yeah,
yeah, yeah that kind
bit
of stuff.
Bit of divisive drama,
100%.
Bit of representational, and it's just you, so you kind of have to play all the roles and
yep,
all that stuff.
Yep, all of it at once, and yeah, so it's this, like, yeah, kind of using your body to tell little miniature stories, and I chose, like, a kind of space theme,
cool.
like a space odyssey,
yeah.
Kind of because the idea of, like, one person in a space with one white light was like, that feels like...
Space.
Like, yeah, floating through space.
Yeah,
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 yeah.
It's a bit infinite.
Yeah, 100%, you know... Dark black box theatre, you
yeah,
know.
Cool.
But yeah, we got like our friend Ben Kelly, who's a local composer up in Ponikea, to create like a original score. There's
cool.
like cool, like, you know, synth waves and
yep.
a bit of like jazz for the Big Bang, you know,
mm-hmm.
things like that. Yeah,
cool. That sounds really cool. And
yeah.
I feel like some jazz really suits the space opera vibe as well.
100%. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to like ask you as soon as you mentioned a light bulb, like what.
Mm.
What the light bulb means to you, but it sounds like that's like a tool that you just have to perform around.
100%,
like,
yeah.
Turn it into anything and everything because it's the only element that you can even point at.
Yep.
It's like it's the other.
it's my other performer
yeah,
on stage.
Yeah.
No, no, it is good. So our light designer,
yeah.
Rebecca DeRue, actually got like
wait,
a nomination.
Wait, they're a light designer, but there's just one light.
Just one.
Are they getting paid for this?
Yeah, oh, they're getting paid. They're getting paid, but only one light worth. No. but no, she got nominated for Lighting Design of the Year. In 2023 at the Wellington Theatre Awards, which was just such a good bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, and so it's got this kind of life of its own. It's like a colour-changing bulb.
Oh,
you know,
okay,
it can do all
okay,
sorts
okay.
of fun
yeah,
things.
Yeah, yeah.
And we've kind of imbued it with a little bit of character itself.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's on a little pulley, and we swing it around and move it and create shadows and shapes. And yeah,
cool,
yeah.
Cool. Yeah, that sounds very, very fun.
It's very fun. Honestly, the way we made the show was we locked ourselves in a room for a week, mm-hmm. and, you know, dark room, light bulb, and then found every single thing we could do with the light bulb.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very cool. Mm. For the listeners out there, could you give us some details about the show?
Oh, yes, details.
Where to go and catch it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're at Te Whare o Rukatia, just off the Octagon, on Thursday the 20th and Saturday the 22nd at 8 p.m. both nights.
Cool. Awesome. So hopefully we'll get to see some of our listeners there as well.
Totally.
And you've said you've done some fringe stuff before as well. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So this show. I mean, I'm a fringe veteran of the New Zealand Fringe up in Wellington. Like every year, making shows and testing new stuff. But this particular show did quite well in 2023 and got some touring awards and stuff. So we headed over to Melbourne Fringe and San Diego Fringe with a touring award as well. And then we've jumped up to like the Upsurge Festival in Kirikiri and, you know, Basement Theatre. So toured around decently. We just came from Nelson Fringe last week.
Nice.
Earlier this week.
Ooh.
Last week.
Yeah. And so doing your performances in other places, I'm really used to asking this to musicians, but I'm actually even more interested for performance art or theatre of any sort. How does it affect you, like, seeing the other people around performing in different spaces? Like, did you get to see much in San Diego or in Melbourne? And did that, like... Because I can feel like with theatre, especially because of how physical and intimate it is, you get a real, like, sense of a community and, like, a people pulling from each other and being inspired by each other. And you get real scenes that can be super localised. How did that feel? Did you learn and pick up things from those different scenes?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, I think each fringe, each city we've been to has been a completely different vibe, which is so... It, like, broadens your horizons really well. Like, there was stuff that we saw in the Melbourne Fringe where we were like, oh, like, we can be pushing the boundaries of, like, what theatre can be way more than we are back home. So, that was a thing to kind of, like, learn and then take back. And, you know, I think I've definitely become a better artist overall by consuming more of other people's, like, diverse, different, you know, especially fringe art where people are, like, they're trying out, you know, all sorts of very, like, strange, interesting stuff. And, yeah, San Diego was interesting because it's, you know, a totally different culture. Like, obviously Australia is quite similar to New Zealand, but you know, America was, you know, a whole nother thing, and they're really into their plays there, and they've got a lot of writers, like, they come from that kind of world a lot better. But then we also met some lovely other clowns over there who are doing, like, clowning is huge in the LA scene right now.
Yeah, I've kind of caught this vibe that people, not in necessarily a bad way, but take themselves a lot more seriously in the American, like, theatre and also music
100%.
Scene.
Yeah.
And you kind of see that with, like, people's descriptions of their shows, even like in New Zealand, it's like, and also to some extent in Australia, we've got this real, like, apologetic colonial, like, it's just someone doing this thing, you know?
Oh, it's no big deal.
Whereas, like, there, it'll be like, this references these three philosophers and comes from a long line of this history and will, like, blow your mind or something, you know?
Yeah.
I love that difference, and I love hearing how Kiwis then can draw from other places. Do you see yourself going and keeping performing around the world? Is that kind of a goal?
Yeah, I mean, 100%. Like, we've got big goals for Edinburgh maybe next year or the year after.
I actually went to the Edinburgh Fringe a couple years ago.
That's a whole huge, beautiful thing. Yeah. Like, the whole city just livens up.
Absolutely, yeah.
So we're looking at continuing to tour this show. Like, it's so small, the whole show fits in a suitcase, so it's not exactly the hardest show to get overseas.
Suitcase and a lighting director.
That's all we need.
Cool.
Yeah.
And do you see it evolving as well? Because I guess that's what, when you've got something so minimalist, is that something where you know, you've got a score that's already been made. Mm. Is that something that's going to change or move around, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, it changed a lot in its first year. Like the first outing back at New Zealand Fringe in 2023 was quite different from the show it is now. Like, it's developed and evolved a lot. I think the version that we're at right now is like, we're pretty happy with it. But the good thing about the show is it's quite reactive to whatever audience is there. Like, it's not the kind of thing where we just do the exact thing every night.
True,
we'll react to who's in the space and what people are, like, responding to. Yeah. And there's some play that always happens.
Yeah, you got the crowd, you got the light bulb. The crowd and the light bulb, they might interact differently.
You never know.
Cool. Yeah. Awesome. I really appreciate you coming on the show. It's been lovely to chat to you.
Lovely.
Is there anything else you would like to talk to or share with the people of Otipoti so they can know more about yourself or your scene or where you come from?
Look, honestly, just supporting fringe art is the way that we build up the art scene, and all of the arts interact, you know, yeah, music, absolutely, theater, film, all of that intersects because it's the same people, it's the same vibe, it's the same audiences.
Yeah.
And the more you support each other, the more that we'll grow these little scenes in our towns and grow them into massive international things.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And we've seen that in Otipoti. We've seen people who played in bands, played on the radio and stuff, who have also been making music for Fringe or running their own performances at Fringe or being a part of things there. And I was just thinking about when you were saying different things in different cities. One thing that I saw at Fringe here was there used to be a huge water fountain in the middle of the city that would do like a crazy display.
Yes.
And so there was just like four people manically pumping water.
the recreation. Yeah,
and, like running around the circle and just yelling like crazy in the middle. And like barely anyone was there. But it was just awesome being like seeing like that level of DIY.
Yep.
Yeah, you can do the stupidest thing and like go absolutely hard. And it's like absolute entertainment. And it's like also heartwarming when you have localized entertainment like that as well.
Yeah. Specific to the place that it's happening.
Yeah, totally. Mm. Cool. Well, thank you so much, Daniel, for being on. It's been lovely to have you, and I can't wait to see your show.
Yeah, lovely. Okay, cool. Thanks.
That was a Radio 191 FM podcast. Find more at r1.co.nz.